1, 2, 3.
Welcome to the Smartest Amazon Seller Podcast. This is your host, Scott Needham. This is one of those very special episodes where it's just me. What I love about these episodes is I can move at my own speed. I like to move fast. And so that's why these episodes are a little bit quicker, because we're going to hit four subjects and we're going to move on quickly. So some of these are just interesting things that I've seen, and I'll have a conversation about something I worked on, which actually I found a pretty cool hack, if you would like to call them that. And so, yeah, there's a few good ideas here. So first, I want to tell a story about James McConnell Jr. He writes on LinkedIn, and he always writing different type of stuff. He likes to talk about FBA, inbound, and he does have a 3PL, but like, he's an FBA nerd through and through. I think he'll be fine to admit that. And the Amazon FBA placement fee that just came out, where it has sellers split shipments five different ways. You know, we were told by Amazon this was to increase their efficiency. They're like, hey, you know, help us like spread it out, you know, nationwide, split up your shipments, and then we don't have to transship across the country. Well, he found that's actually not true. One of his split shipments, it was one of five split shipments, transferred 49 different ways, and none of those transfers were regional. I look at the states from California to Florida to Connecticut. This is kind of disappointing to see, you know, Amazon and this whole like drama of this extra fee. I think everyone hates it because you pay it up front. It just like hits you a little bit different. And, you know, you're like, oh, this used to cost me $200. Now it costs me $2,000. That makes you think a little bit differently about FBA, but it's kind of crazy that they would roll out this program and not have transshipping optimized like that. It's not a good look. And, you know, a lot of people are claiming that Amazon would be greedy for doing this. Like, oh, they're just doing what they normally do, and they're just being greedy. My comment in reply to this, while like, you know, it could be greed, I didn't come up with this quote, but never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. And that's definitely how you could feel with this, that Amazon, they kind of rolled this out, and we understand their reasons, but for them to transship across the nation while we're already splitting shipments means something's not going right. You know, they have not accounted for the inventory that is being received across the nation already. And I actually hope that they fix this, because then the FBA program as a whole is more efficient, so they don't make dumb changes that they have to do. In a lot of ways, think FBA is one of the best programs and logistics platforms out there. To see them make a mistake like this, not good. It's actually, in the end, it's actually going to cost us, because the more efficient they make their program, the better. But James also was writing that splitting up shipments is a better deal. Even though if those shipments actually cost more money to ship out, it's a better deal than paying a 50-cent placement fee. So it's good to see someone studying that, figuring it out. I would also counter that even though maybe it's a better deal, splitting up shipments actually takes extra time and resources, just moving boxes around. We had a sorter in our FBA center. That's all they did, is just like take these shipments, sort them to the different destinations. And lots of sorting was done. And it's inefficient, you know, to have someone do that, when ideally, you know, if everyone wants to ship just to one location, then you don't have to think as much. You don't have to pay attention to those as many numbers. Those are a few ideas to consider about the FBA's updates. So last week, I did my first webinar that I've done in over a year. We had worked on some features. We built some features that were actually very tailored to very large Amazon sellers, large brand managers and agencies. We were listening, and we knew we could do a little bit better. So we improved our scope tool, and this led actually to a hack. So there's a reason that I do this, but one of the things that I think about a lot is, how do you explain Amazon to non-Amazon people? And that's kind of the goal of scope. You show market share over time on a historic basis and make it very clean data. And so someone that like doesn't care about Amazon, maybe Amazon's like a nuisance, they see that and they're like, oh, this is a competition. I'm fighting for market share. I'm fighting for attention from thousands of customers. So we think that this is a good way to do that. But like in the middle of this, we were looking at our popping topics tool, and I noticed I typed in pickleball paddles, and I looked at all of, like, the top search terms, and one that like just like surged, that's surging right now, is best pickleball paddles 2024. Of course, that would be surging because it's just the beginning of 2024. It's the beginning of summer, so pickleball season is underway. Then I clicked on that, and guess what I saw? The number one organic product had it led with 2024. This doesn't apply to every category, but a lot of categories, people expect yearly improvements. And so that's why they always type in 2024. I would expect that the category of like robot vacuums, Roombas, to improve every year. I would expect them to have a new model every year. Tennis rackets, tennis shoes, running shoes, like everyone comes up with a model every single year. And I actually think you can SEO hack your way in that, even if you don't have a new version or a new product, like say your paddle, your tennis racket is the same every year. Let's just like make that assumption. Maybe it's the same every year. You should be writing somewhere, this is the 2024 edition. You could put it in the title. It's not bad. It's not like people like hate. It's not noise compared to keyword stuffing. Because I want to deal with the 2024 version. Yeah, this like, oh, you guys are brand new. I like brand new. And on top of that, like it also has an SEO effect. So that's pretty cool to see that. The same thing applies to like other SEO. Like if you like have a blog, people will always like keyword stuff like top 10 things for the year 2024. And then the next year, they'll actually just go back and update it all everywhere that says 2024. They'll say 2025. So it's not new, but I've never seen it in the Amazon context. And I wouldn't be surprised if at least a third of the products out there could do this, where like, you know, there's an expectation of improvement. I mean, even a coffee machine. This is our 2024 model. It's not bad marketing on its own. It's also a good SEO hack. So that's something that I figured out this last week. I think we have a few products that I'm tempted to play around with it and see what happens in the search query performance reports after the fact. That would be cool. So back to this like thing of like explaining Amazon to non-Amazon people. I actually, for the first time ever, we've built a free tier into Smart Scout, but actually you have to backdoor your way into it. I'll tell you how that, and it's going to tie into like how to explain Amazon to non-Amazon people. We have smartscout.com/brand-reports. Maybe there's an S, maybe there's not. But if you just like sign up right there, we don't ask for a credit card. It's free. It takes you straight to this new tool that we call Brand Reports. And you can do it for any brand out there. If you do Nike, it's going to take, you know, an hour to finish. If you do a normal brand with 200, 300, 400 ASINs, it'll finish in about 5-10 minutes because we wanted this data to be fresh. We wanted it to be like the moment that you request it, and because it allowed us to make sure that it was also thorough. We didn't want some ASINs to be a few days old and some to be like fresh. That was not what we wanted. So, but this brand report is almost like an executive report. It will show you how the brand is doing over the last month. You know, are they growing month over month? How many sellers do they have? What's their brand score? What's their top categories? Basically all the stuff that we do at Smart Scout, but it just throws it at once in a way that would be an executive report. We have used this with over 500 brands now as we printed all of these. This is like our Smart Scout sales strategy, but it works if you attend trade shows and you want to like give value, start a conversation. We would print them all out for each brand that we wanted to talk to and hand it to them, give it to them. Start that conversation. Non-Amazon people will see this. They'll understand. They understand revenue. They'll understand, oh, we're 30%. Our competition is 40%. Oh, crap. And so, yeah, we're giving this one for free for now. Just testing things out, to be honest. I would have probably pushed this more, but if you do a brand with 500 ASINs, it does take 15 minutes to run. Because of that, I was like, oh, this isn't ready for prime time, but this is ready for the experimenter audience. That is the podcast audience, those that tinker and are early adopters. So now final topic is right now, it's April 22nd. In about 3 weeks, Pattern the largest Amazon seller is doing their conference here where I live, Salt Lake City. It's like 4 miles away from my house. So of course I'll be there, but their event is called Accelerate. It's very different. And I've even had two people ask me like, should I go? And I can't answer that for you. I'm more of a give you all the information, let you make your own decision. I don't want to strong arm people into having a great time without, you know, I don't want to persuade them. I want them to persuade themselves. So pattern, largest Amazon seller, people like to throw mud at them. Great. It's easy to do that to the largest seller. People have been doing it to Thrasio for a few years. So now it's actually kind of turning to pattern. They have multiple accounts. Like that's why kind of like they are the largest seller, because not only do they have the number one account, they also have like the number 10, the number 15. So like it all adds up. They are a brand accelerator. That's how they describe themselves. They take a brand. They like to work with large brands and put them on all marketplaces, not just Amazon, but go overseas. And they see themselves as kind of like a marketplace manager. I don't see them doing a lot of D2C yet. And I've even gotten talks with investors like, hey, is this an accelerator model like good? Is this a good value prop? Where is it going to be in 5 to 10 years? Shoot, I didn't mean to enter that conversation, but I just like threw it out there, because since I used to be really pushing this model and I serve both audiences, I get asked this a lot, and Pattern is leading the way. No question of this accelerator model. They have some innovations from like their logistics in Kentucky, where, you know, they're shipping 40, 50 million products a year. And I don't want to jump into that so much as like, what is this like conference, their acceleration summit? What is it about? They bring in a lot of brands. They won't, you know, I offered myself to speak. I was like, hey, I'm close by. You can trust me. And they're like, okay, you can speak, but like, you got to bring a brand with you. And I'm like, well, I'll try. They really focus on large multinational brands. That's who they want to attend. I know in a lot of ways that's who they want to work with, but they want to prove different parts of like the marketplace that work for big brands. Like if it works for like, you know, General Mills or Clorox, like it can work for other big brands that have wholesale relationships, distributor relationships, and it's kind of who they want to lead the content. And so you'll see a lot of cool stuff from these larger brands. They're the ones that usually do a lot of the showcasing. And there'll be a handful of tech tools. You know, Smart Scout will be like one of 12. And Pattern will show off everything that they've done, as they have a variety of entry points into marketplace management. So you're going to learn about their processes a little bit. And that's the show. It is very nice. It's very clean, good design. Looks better. Like if you walk around the hallways, you're like, okay, this looks better than Prosper. This looks better than any other show. So like they go all out, and that's why you would attend. The attendee quality is fairly high in my experience, and brings a few new people out that don't always show up at the shows. So we'll be there. We actually are doing a networking event the night before, just a kind of a little mixer. So yeah, that's the event. That's Pattern. We could jump in all day and talk about the debate, but here's the final thing that I'll say about them is, would a large brand use an Amazon agency? Let's say they pay that Amazon agency $10,000 a month. This is a huge brand. That's nothing to them. Would that same brand work with an agency partner that also pays for their inventory upfront that goes into that market? And then they also take on that inventory risk, and then they also handle the logistics. They're doing the FBA prep. Yeah, a large multinational brand would work with that one. Would they give them more margin? Probably. It's a considerable risk to buy inventory upfront. And that's kind of like, at the end of the day, I'll just leave the debate at that. Like, that's why Pattern, I think, is a future business model, because there are large brands for which Amazon is their least important channel. They do not care. They want the headache to go away. And someone buying inventory up front is very attractive. Companies don't like owning inventory out of their network. So like in FBA, like you all of a sudden own inventory that is nationwide, as we were describing. It's in all 50 states. That can have tax implications. You know, say that stuff doesn't sell, well, it has to come back home and no one else deal with that headache. So I know some people that like they have chocolate and the moment it's April 15th, like they can't return that stuff. Theoretically, they could, but they won't. And they just destroy it. So that's another angle to think about pattern and why people work with them, why they're at the top of the game. And there are dozens, I would say maybe even a few hundred other businesses that actually start to walk and talk like them. So interesting information. That's the main part of the podcast. Just wanted to talk about the cool things that I'm seeing in the last 2 weeks and wanted to share that with you. So that's the pod. We're going to wrap this up and get you on with your day. I'm under 20 minutes. That was the goal. Here we go. Have a good one. See ya.
1, 2, 3.